go to cufflinks.com/DVR today. And this month, until the end of October, that's right, until Halloween, use code DCComics20 to save 20% off all DC Comics items. Go over to cufflinks.com. Not only if you have an event coming up, but just if you want to look good when you walk outside in the morning. And they've got lots of cool geeky stuff. Game of Thrones, Marvel, DC, they got it. They've also got sports, NHL, NBA, NFL. Go to cufflinks.com/DVR today. Use code DCComics20 and save 20% off. Do it. Today is Monday, October 28th, 2019, and this is Daily DVR. Welcome back, everyone, to Daily DVR. You can find out more about us at DVRpodcast.com. Actually, just did a little bit of work on the website. Nothing great, but a little bit of work. You can also email us at DVRpodcast@gmail.com. Today, I got a little smorgasbord of a show for you. I know a lot of you have been listening to our Mindhunter and our Watchmen coverage. I'm going to do a little Watchmen maybe at the end of the show. But today I'm going to talk a little bit about news, some shows that I've been watching, and just some general geeky TV film stuff that's been going on. Again, do go to DVRpodcast.com. Give us a review. I'm still going to give out a cufflinks.com prize. I want to get some more reviews before I do that. So give us a review at Daily DVR there on Apple Podcasts, or give us a Watchmen review or a Westworld Theorycast or a Podcast Winterfell or a Veronica Mars or Mindhunter, Bachelor in Paradise. That's right. The new title is Batch It Up. No more Bachelor in Paradise or Bachelor. It's Batch It Up. Sarah and I have decided on a new title. We'll be coming back in January. So do any of that. Help us out. Give us a little positivity there. We appreciate it. I do want to take this time to thank our patrons. I want to thank Gina, Kellum, Sandy, Newbie News, Tarek, Peter, James, Matt, Brett, Joe Bear, Jenny, Bill, Cindy, Derek, Brian, Max, Ben, Bob, Heath, Andy, Dennis, Vernon, Scott, Jeff, Beth, and Pizza Eaters, our newest patron, Pizza Eaters, who's a big Lost Mythos fan. You can get all those old episodes of Lost Mythos. I'm going to keep dropping them on the Patreon. And sooner or later, probably sooner rather than later, maybe in the new year, I'll create a feed for those for the general public. Because there's a lot of Lost rewatches and Lost stuff going on, especially with Damon doing Watchmen. And I think it'd be good for people to get a little taste of the old mythos, baby. Maybe I won't drop them all. Maybe I'll save the call-ins. I'm about to get to dropping some of the call-ins. And those are the classic ones. You get to hear people that you just didn't expect. Some people that you haven't heard from in a long time. Some people that have departed this life are actually on those call-ins, and you get to hear their voice again. So it's going to be a great experience to do that. But let's start off with some news today, just some stuff that I was looking at. You know, a little while ago, I did a fall preview, and I just wanted to check back in with you on that. And there is some news that ABC has handed out a full season order to both Stumptown and Mixed-ish. And has also given a second full season to The Rookie. Now, The Rookie had a little bit of a problem. There was a woman who stepped down, who quit the show, alleging some improprieties. I don't know the full story. This is why I'm not going into it. I don't want to speak out of turn. But that, I guess, was investigated and nothing happened. And you see, I mean, I don't know. The show goes on. Nathan Fillion, people enjoy it. And now that's been renewed for a full second season. Stumptown, I really like. Out of the new fall shows, I would say on the network, Stumptown is pretty high up there for me. I enjoy it. Not only is it shot here in Portland, but it's a nice little detective story. It's serialized just enough to keep me interested in that aspect of it and the characters and their growth or potential growth, which is something that you do want to see over a course of a series. And this is why I enjoy serialized television as opposed to the procedurals, which is that the procedurals, after a while, the characters are so stale, the lead characters. And if they can add a bit more of this serialization to keep you interested in their growth, and then the show changes with them, you feel like you're really more a part of that world, right? Like you're kind of in the club that you watched it grow and change, the characters included. And I think Stumptown actually has the potential to do that. Some of the other ones, Evil, we fell off on. Prodigal Son, fell off on that. The Unicorn, still checking that out. Surprisingly, has not gone south. Just don't know how much there really is to mine there. And it's a slightly repetitive. I'm going to keep with it and see how it grows. It's got a great cast and it's worth it. So why not? You know, they kind of pile up in the old DVR. I have not gotten back with American Horror Story 1984, though I definitely will. I'm saving The Good Place. I know there's a lot of Good Place watchers who are listeners, and I'm a big fan. And I think when The Good Place reaches the end here, I'll catch up before the final episode, and then we'll do a Good Place episode, because that is just a fantastic series. But I find that it is much better streamed. And so I'm waiting on it. And the way things are now, you know what? It's funny the way social media, it used to be, you know, if you hadn't seen a show, it could run its whole series. And unless it was Who Shot JR, you're not going to know what happened, right? Or who killed Laura Palmer. You just find it sometime on VHS or DVD and you watch it and you're like, oh, wow, that was great. Like, but then it became everything gets spoiled because everything's on the internet. Now there's so much TV that you can't possibly spoil everything. And The Good Place is so many episodes in, and I barely seen anybody talking about it. So many of these different shows, unless it's that, whoa, sorry there, touch them. I sounded like Snoopy there. Speaking of Snoopy, Apple TV, November 1st. I got to find out how to get that app. I might be getting a Fire Stick sooner than later. But now, like with The Good Place, so many of these shows, I'm behind. I know Jenny, sorry about that. I'm behind on Mayans. And I haven't, nobody, I did it again. Nobody's spoiling me on Mayans. I'm not getting spoiled on things. I think even Watchmen, if I wasn't paying attention, I probably wouldn't be getting spoiled on it, unless I was spoiling people on our Facebook page, which you should all join. So it's interesting that you now kind of have the ability to do that. And with so much coming out, I mean, like I said, November 1st, Apple TV, there's so many new shows that are launching. Just 2 weeks after that, November 12th, less than 2 weeks, you have Disney Plus, so many shows launching. So it's even more. Hey, I just started watching Limetown on Facebook Watch. There's a Facebook Watch app that you can get on Xbox, PS4, I think Roku, all these type of devices. And the app is terrible. It shuts down intermittently, blah, 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 on the menu. But it always works. Once you hit play, it plays. Just don't try to rewind or anything. It's almost like Facebook is saying, no, we want you to be on Facebook when you watch this. It's called Facebook Watch. Jessica Biel, good show. I'm enjoying the first two episodes. We had a post today on our Facebook post by someone who had just started listening to the podcast that it's based on. I have not listened to that. Said it had some kind of Lost-like elements, and I see that. It's like a secret research project among scientists. They all disappear. It's an interesting story. But just last night, my wife and I saw an ad for it. I think it was during football. And I was like, oh, hey, we forgot. There's another episode now. They drop them every Wednesday. I can't even remember. There's so many things that are happening and nobody told me. So it's interesting to see that these shows are being renewed. But it's funny, too, that I watch them and I get into, I see what are the new fall shows. And then the next thing you know, I'm just letting them pile up. And then I'm like, I'll just watch it when it hits Disney or whatever streaming thing it is. I'll just watch it when it hits that. And for most of the fall shows, I'm probably not going to end up watching them. But for a couple of them, probably like Unicorn or something, maybe I'll probably fall out on it just someday. I'll watch it on CBS All Access because it's up there. Now I know, oh, hey, when I get the free trial to watch Picard, I can watch the unicorn. Another reason to use that 30-day free trial. That's a little bit of what's going on there with the renewals. We had some other renewals, like the Unicorn was renewed. I'm trying to think of some of the other shows that I went over during that time that I was more impressed with. And still watching Single Parents, enjoying that. But I don't know. Let's get to some other news. A lot of people were excited on the internet. The Mandalorian character posters. They're doing a lot. I like the way they're doing similarly what they did to the films, right? They're doing for the TV show here on Disney Plus, coming up in only a scant couple of weeks. The Mandalorian early reviews on the first episode are extremely positive. And what made me the most excited is almost every single review I read said, this felt like the original trilogy to me. And it has only really been Rogue One that felt that way to me. I think Star Wars should be dirty. It should be dark. It should be almost confusing at times with the characters and what the worlds and things. When things are a little too polished, as they have been in the newer trilogy, and yes, I'm excited for the new film to come out, but I got to be honest with you, more excited for Mandalorian. And we were going to cover Mandalorian, Heath and I, but with Mindhunter and time commitments, we're not going to be able to do that. But trust me, once that thing drops, I don't know, I might want to talk about it because it looks amazing. And it's getting just great reviews. And for me, it's about creating that world. I don't need to get all these references and this and that. I want a story that I can attach myself to. And that brings me to something that I've been really interested in talking about. And I'll talk about it today, but I hope that in the future, and as it kind of pans out, I'm definitely going to be talking about this, maybe with Solo, with Timothy Hines, and please listen to another week, DJ and ready. Yeah. Oh yeah, baby. Another week. Subscribe. But anyway, another, piece of news here was no Marvel multi-film sagas for a while. Okay. And this plays into what they're doing with The Mandalorian and the way that they're taking the focus off of the Star Wars films. They're doing Mandalorian. There's news that the Ben Kenobi series with Ewan McGregor is going to start shooting in the summer of 2020. It's going to be six episodes, and it's going to take place after the events of Anakin becoming Darth Vader. So we may see Ben Kenobi, how he hides away and watches Luke and all this kind of stuff. So I find it to be interesting. And Ewan McGregor said it may be melancholy. You know, he's recovering from a great failure, as we all know. Obviously, your student becomes the most evil person in the galaxy, you know, kind of a failure. But that really excited me because I do think that Star Wars is best told as a TV show. You've all heard me say this before. And I'm very excited that Kevin Feige has been named now as the president of not only the Marvel Extended Universe, the film, but also the television. So they're putting that all under one umbrella now. Previously, it was separate. And you see the scattershot nature of all these Marvel shows. Some of them are on Freeform. Hey, there's one on Netflix. Oh, there's one on FX, you know? Oh, hey, let's make a cartoon with Donald Glover. No, we can't make that cartoon with Donald Glover. What were we thinking? That's Donald Glover. I want to see that pilot one day, right? Just like the famous Kanye comedy pilot for HBO, which was supposed to be like one of the worst things ever. But I think that's on YouTube. But I've been very excited that Marvel decided to put everything under one umbrella, because that is what they should have done from the beginning. I have been a little bit on some podcasts and on the internet. I've sometimes said, I think I was, I don't know, last podcast I did where I talked about, it, I said, you know, that was with DJ and Reddy, where people are marvel. I was a guest on another week where people marvel about, oh my God, they did 22 movies that fit together kind of by like three or four scenes in each movie and a stinger at the end. That's not really, you know, there's a lot of film, a lot of serialized films that have been around. I use the example of The Thin Man. You know how many Thin Man movies there are? You know, how many Godzilla movies? That's like, there's a lot of movies that have attempted to do this. And actually, with the amount of money and time and effort, yeah, it was a production feat that they were able to get all those actors together on time and on budget to do all these films, more so than did they actually write a compelling narrative that fit together, because they had to kind of go back and explain everything to you at the end anyway. And I felt it was it great? No. Was it good? Did they do a good job? Yes. But now with the television shows, they're really going to have an opportunity to do that. And the quote that we have here from producer Trin Tron told Cinema Blend, our focus right now is to make sure that the titles we've released in phase four, obviously these stories are going to be new, exciting, blah, 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 can connect with the audience like the other movies have been. Over 10 years ago, it's always been our dream to get Infinity War and Endgame level. But it's incredible to know that we've been able to accomplish that. Now it'd be amazing if we could get to that level 10 years later. So I think it's a dream to continue doing that and build upon the MCU and connective tissue that we have. And now with our Disney Plus side and the shows and how our characters are venturing into that world, that's going to lead to future and more franchises and more stories. So basically what they're saying is, they're going to do it more on the TV side. The film side is kind of where they introduce a character or they have a big moment, and the connective tissue is going to be the TV shows. I think that for people who enjoy these stories, I know my son does, I enjoy watching them with him, that's good news. Because if you're going to have something like Disney Plus to do, like, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on it, and every once in a while, a crossover event with Thor, and then like somebody who's like in the background appears in the episode. This is like, I felt like I was in 1983. That's nothing. You know, that's not the type of synergy that people expect, especially when, if I can just click over to Endgame on the same streaming service as I'm watching a show, and I'm like, wait, why are these different again? Because this was released in a theater for a couple of months before it now is on streaming for years. That makes that much of a difference? The delivery system is going to change the story? So take that out of it and don't let the delivery system really change the story, and allow these TV shows to be as exciting and as interesting and have people talking, have someone big die in the TV show, not the movie. You had to watch the TV show if you watch the movie. This is the way they're going to do it. So I think this is pretty interesting. And doing this for both Marvel and Star Wars, because they knocked out, you know, Obi-Wan's having a series, not a movie. They're not doing any solo story. Sorry, Solo. Part two, if they did, they'll probably do it as a series. That is, for me, the best way to tell these stories. And it got me excited about, the whole reason I want to talk about this is Indiana Jones. Okay? The best. That would be the best series. How fun would that be? They could go all over the world now, like a Game of Thrones level Indiana Jones. Who's Indiana Jones? Who could be cast as Indiana Jones? Now, I have my own Indiana Jones, and I'm a big fan of this actor, Logan Marshall Green. This guy is great. Of course, if you've been a listener to this show, you know I'm a huge fan of Upgrade, which he was a star of. He's kind of the American Tom Hardy, but I think he would be an amazing Indiana Jones. Please make this happen. 10 episodes. You do four or five seasons. I don't care about a movie. We don't need a movie. Do a movie on Disney Plus. I don't care about movies anymore. These things were made. They were inspired by the serials, the radio and television serials, Lone Ranger, and all these types of things from long ago. Have Gun Will Travel or whatever. That's Indiana Jones is perfect. That's like the last piece of the puzzle. I know there's some rights issues and they're still trying to do another stupid movie to get Harrison Ford to do another character that he's tired of doing. And he's just going to tell them to kill the character. Okay. He was great. But guess what? Times change. That was years ago. Let it go. Is Shia LaBeouf? Hey, Shia LaBeouf is a great actor. You see some of the work he's done? Have you watched the Hot Wings video with Shia LaBeouf yet? I love that dude. I love the way he talks. He's like, hey, I like these Hot Wings. He's like, you could tell he's just an artist. But he's not going to be Indiana Jones again. That movie was terrible with the monkeys and hiding from a nuclear bomb in a refrigerator, which may have actually worked. But either way, I want it to be a TV show. That's what's getting me excited is the thought that they're doing it with Star Wars. They're doing it with Marvel. I can't wait for this all to drop. I can't wait for Mandalorian, all the Marvel shows that are coming out. But most exciting to me is going to be when they can do some Indiana Jones, even though I love Star Wars more than I love Indiana Jones. But I just, you know, they did the young Indiana Jones and we all remember River Phoenix. That it was like, oh man, it was gonna be a great show. The show was okay. It was fun. You can go back there. I think that's going to be on Disney Plus too. But it would be a great series. Logan Marshall Green as Indiana Jones, new series coming soon to a theater on your television near you. Speaking of which, Skywalker tracks for a slightly quieter opening. A lot of people super excited about the trailer. I thought the visuals were amazing. The story for me, I don't know. It's just, I gotta see it. I'll make my decisions then. I don't know what they're showing us. I think it's a lot of subterfuge there. You know, is Rey, are they going to get together? What's going to happen? I'm not going to get, when we get closer to this, actually, I just was in contact with an old friend. I'll wait until we get it all together. But she is very interested in coming on with me and DJ and maybe doing a couple podcasts in preparation for the final installment of the 9 series, Star Wars series. Does it really feel that way? I don't know. You know, it's weird. As we get to the end here, I'm starting to look back. You have the prequels, you have this, you have the original. I kind of really see them as 3 separate things. So I guess for me, is this the final one in the Skywalker trilogy? I guess it is. But those 3 are what they are. The prequels are what they are. And these are what they are. They're so different. I'm going to enjoy it. Definitely. I'm super psyched. Really, it was the visuals that got to me, which making me think I'm going to have to see this in a movie theater. I know everybody knows I hate movie theaters. I get a little anxiety too. I don't like being in closed spaces. But generally it's the noise and it's just not a fun experience for me, but I'm going to do it. I can find a nicer theater around here. And I think Lachlan will enjoy that too. But, it's a little, you know, so many people are into how much money it made. I don't care. I'm not even going to talk about it's down. Who cares? I just want to see the movie. I don't care how much it could make a dollar. Maybe if it made a dollar, they just put it all on Disney Plus. So maybe it should make a dollar. Because this movie to me is like so big. It's just like these 3 films. It's going to be like 4 hours long. Wouldn't it maybe be better as like a 6-hour series, you know? Hey, wouldn't it, I start thinking about The Last Jedi, the whole kids stuff that goes on. That could have been like a mini series on its own. Like what Finn was doing, you know? And then we got the other stuff. I think if you think about it now, that's kind of, that would have satisfied people better, but what are you going to do? All right. What else do I have to talk about? Is there any, let's see, just looking to some of the news stuff that came out today. Robert Evans died, a great producer. The kid stays in the picture. If you ever saw that documentary, oh man, that was amazing. 2002, one of the best Hollywood docs ever made. This guy has done a lot. Chinatown, Rosemary's Baby, The Godfather, Love Story. Come on. It's Robert Evans. You probably know what he looks like, even if you don't think you do. You've seen him. 89, no cause of death has been given. How about he was 89? That's my cause of death. 89 years old. Lived a long and crazy life. A lot of great films. Should I talk any more about a Scorsese and Coppola? No. I'm not going to talk any more about that stuff. Taking a little break to remind you to go to cufflinks.com. Go to cufflinks.com/DVR today and use code DCComics20 and save 20% off all DC Comics stuff. Man, I got an awesome Batman tie. I'm looking at it right now. That's right. Do it. Watchmen, Batman, they got it all. Go over to cufflinks.com/DVR today. Save 20% off on DC Comics. Use code DCComics20. You can also use our code DVR20 at any time. Save 20% off, no minimum. Go over to cufflinks.com now. One of the best parts about podcasting is getting to know the listeners and making new friends. And one of those friends is Andy. You may have heard me mention him before on one of our many podcasts. And Andy and his wife, Claire, are looking to adopt. So if you or anybody you know is considering adoption for their baby, please consider the loving family of Andrew and Claire. They're a home study approved adoptive family of three living on a farm in southern Minnesota with a dog, Barney, and two turtles. They're able to adopt from anywhere in the United States and would love to answer any questions you may have. To learn more about them, check out their Facebook page at Andrew and Claire Adopt or on Instagram at Andrew_and_Claire_adopt. You can also email them at andrewandclaireadopt@gmail.com. So again, if you or anyone you know is considering adoption for their baby, reach out at andrewandclaireadopt@gmail.com. Thanks. All right, let's get to a little Watchmen stuff. I'm just going to do a little Watchmen. Last night's episode was fantastic. I really enjoyed it. We're getting more into this world, and this was a character-based episode. After so much of mythology and everything we got in the first episode, this episode was much more based around Angela, who she is. We saw a little bit of a flashback, and I am going to get to spoilers, so maybe I should have done a larger introduction. If you hadn't seen the second episode of Watchmen, don't listen to this part or listen later. Okay, I'll give you the three. One, two, three. Bye. Hello, you're back. All right, that was interesting. What'd you do? Did you have a good time while you were out watching this show and doing other things in your life? Well, we're back. So, we learn about Angela. What do we learn about Angela? We learn that her kids are not hers. Her partner was killed during the White Night, which was the attack of the 7th Cavalry, the white supremacists, against 40 police officers in Tulsa. So we know now, too, we find that out not only from the circumstances of her arriving home to find their grandfather, their blood grandfather on the porch, talking about his visitation rights, but also we get a flashback, and when she wakes up, she makes reference to the son's name, which is her son's name. Her son seems to be somehow connected, maybe, to Dr. Manhattan, sitting there building Ozymandias' castle, as Dr. Manhattan did. I'm starting to feel like some of these connections may be real, or may be evidence of an unreal world, but I'm not quite sure along those lines. Again, Damon, baby, you move the donkey wheel, you don't know what else could happen. Hey, is maybe Will a clone that Ozymandias made? Will Reeves, who we find out is Angela's grandfather, He could put his hand into boiling water. He just shoots down that coffee. He has to take weird pills. Is he part of this whole thing that's happening? Is Ozymandias again just pulling the strings, and Angela is part of this, and Will is interjected into this in order to steer her in certain directions? Strange. Interesting, very long and purposeful pull to the pick of Judd and his dad before the reveal of the Ku Klux Klan hood and outfit hidden away in his closet, which was also a callback to the comic, how Rorschach keeps on finding things like in the comedian's closet, right? How they all hide that in their closet. You see the way they're making that allusion from the masked heroes, the vigilantes, to the Klan. I'm feeling a little Walking Dead vibe here, right? Like, how far do you go? That was an interesting reveal, though. And the reason why I mentioned that the pick is because it's of his dad. And if you remember, some astute observers had seen that picture and compared it to the face of a man who passes Will when he's a baby during the Tulsa massacre. And it looks like very much the same man. And that man was in a Ku Klux Klan outfit carrying a gun. So maybe this reveal is just that Will kept this, that Judd kept this in his closet as an homage to his dad, or to remember his roots, to remember the evil from which he came, and to try to right that wrong. Maybe Judd's not bad. That was rather quick. Why doesn't Angela know that Will is her grandfather? Why doesn't she know about her grandfather? What does she know about her parents? I'm starting to feel, and a lot of other people are starting to feel, that Will is perhaps Hooded Justice, the original Watchman, right? The original masked hero. Could it be that Angela's parents, or father too, was a masked hero and passed it on to her? Again, that idea that this whole series is hiding the true legacy of the Watchmen, which is that they were started by Black people in Tulsa. Perhaps Will is really the first. Maybe he's not Hooded Justice. Maybe he was the original Hooded Justice. And this in the show, we get this secondary show within a show about Hooded Justice, and where it lays out that he was this German bodybuilder, right? That in this world, they're saying who he was, where in the Watchmen world, it was thought it was him. They thought it was him, but it was never confirmed. So is this TV show confirming what was not confirmed in the 30 years since? Has it been confirmed? Or has it just been that this conspiracy theory, this story, has become truth to some people because it makes a good story, you know? And what is his connections, if he was a German or a former, or had Nazi connections, to the 7th Cavalry? Do they know of this truth? Interesting. Was it Judd that attacked Angela on White Knight? She gets hit, she gets shot. It looks like the guy's going to shoot her again, and she blacks out and wakes up and Judd's there. Did she shoot Judd? I don't know. He says you got one of them, so she'd have to confirm that. How did he get shot? Maybe her husband? Did he keep a secret? I don't know. I don't know if it would go that deep. It seems kind of obvious that they're setting that up, that that was Judd. Maybe a little bit too obvious. We meet James Wolk. Is James Keene, the son of the man who created the Keene Act, who outlawed masked heroes, the antagonist for Robert Redford, President Redford? Interesting. What a great newspaper stand scene with our man Robert Wisdom from The Wire, a great dude too. Follow him on Twitter. He's a great guy. That was a great little scene, just like from the comic book. And who's the little girl? Who's she getting the newspapers for? Interesting. Ozymandias, a strange play. What I'll say about that is, what's up with the tomato tree? The way he just squeezes it. We know now that his maid and butler are clones of some sort. Is everything fake around him? I don't know. All right, that's all I got. I just wanted to throw out some questions, some ideas, kind of a little bit of a short show today. I want to tell you all to watch the new season of Castle Rock on Hulu. I've really been enjoying it. It's fantastic. Lizzie Kaplan is awesome. The whole cast is awesome. It's a great show. So go watch it. And thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading DVRpodcast.com. Check us out. Give us a review. We appreciate it. Peace out, everybody.